Shift Realty Hotline from MYAS, Minnesota Youth Athletic Services, and they have had to go through quite a year of no tournaments and shutdown to coming up with the different protocols and all that goes with it. Dawson, thank you for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, Mike. Thanks for reaching out today. Great to always hear from you.
Yeah, the MYAS puts on a number of different tournaments. And, well, first of all, explain, like what would be your jersey? How many different tournaments, how many different sports this summer would you be dealing with?
This summer, we have all of our baseball programming through Gopher State Baseball as our branded programming with leagues, tournaments, events, and we have our spring-summer basketball programming. We have begun to administer some youth football leagues of existing leagues that are out there, like Lake Minnetonka Athletic Association and others, but our two primary sports have been baseball and basketball.
And is basketball, I understand that the appetite was quite great amongst people signing up for and teams that wanted to participate in. Can you give us some data on that?
Yeah, I mean, we have our seasons within Minnesota at 3rd to 8th grade where we have the winter community-based traveling basketball programming, and that's through all the parent volunteer athletic associations or basketball associations that we partner directly with. And then at the middle part of March, moving into the end of March, that's when the club season or the spring-summer opportunities exist between our Gopher State spring basketball programs, and then there's a lot of AAU opportunities that are out there through Minnesota Heat, Minnesota Fury, other really strong club operators out there as well. But I mean, I know one weekend, Mike, May 8th and 9th, there were 900 to 1,000 teams playing just that weekend around the metro area. One of our biggest struggles this spring, and we've felt it for a number of years, I've talked to you about it before, is the lack of umpires.
That's what I was thinking, yep. Now, how many of those, Dawson, how many did you lose because of COVID? Is there a percentage drop, or did you feel a big difference?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously one of the big pieces. I told you previously there were 191 people that did not come back this winter in my high school association that I belong to. But I think there's a couple different factors. Obviously, the long time conduct issues and unsportsmanlike conduct that happens within the fans. There's other things that, you know, with the way that the unemployment has been and the additional money, there's that's been there. But yeah, I think that there has been a number of reasons for it, and I think it's kind of reared its ugly head a lot quicker, and now we're seeing what we knew was coming. But we really all within the youth sports community need to band together and figure out a way to eliminate the siloed approach of recruitment and retainment, and really try to figure out how to just get people involved and be excited to give back to the games that they love, that they played for so long, and not think that those people that are wearing the blue or the black and white stripes are the enemy.
What kind of money can they make if they work a day's worth of basketball games, say at a tournament, and you know, there's some young kids out there looking for some money? What kind of money can they make?
Well, I mean, for a long time, we had a five-game minimum, and that went away per day, but that went away a long time ago based on the supply and demand. With so many people playing the game of basketball today, the demand is there, but the supply of officials, so a number of people, you know, work, unfortunately, at times, 8 to 10 games a day. I mean, so you're averaging $25, $26 a game, and on a weekend's work, that adds up pretty quick. For umpiring, we have had a lot of success getting some additional training through our trusted officials platform, both in basketball and baseball, and so we give a tremendous bump in pay per game, and so they're making anywhere from, you know, $62 to $69 a game for a youth game.
Sure, and they could probably work three or four games a day depending on, huh?
Yeah, for tournaments, for sure. The pay per game goes down a little bit in tournament settings, but they still, can make a good amount of money on a weekend.
Now, I'm a big believer that great things are going to come out of COVID as well, that we're going to learn and teach. And I'm going to tell you one of them that I've observed in being these youth tournaments this spring, and that is to put teams in a pod, even more so than worrying about whether or not they play through tournament competition, and playing three games almost consecutively. I don't think there's much wear and tear on the kids as long as they have at least seven players and they're doing 20-minute running time halves, but it's so efficient for parents and everybody else to make a one stop and commit yourself there for an afternoon or night.
Yeah, I completely agree. A long time ago, we developed this concept called Super Saver Tournaments, which was a one-day tournament format. And because of COVID, that accelerated everybody to create that opportunities instead of creating two-day tournaments. You know, the one-day tournament, I think, is here to stay because, like you said, it gives people a back part of their weekend, and they don't have to spend the entire weekend in a gym or at the ball diamond or whatever they may be doing. We had a survey that we did with the Minnesota Youth Basketball Alliance member associations. Those are this last year, 152 associations from around the state that are within the youth basketball community. And 70% of the people said the one modification that they saw was that one-day tournament concept. And just the, like you said, the scheduling format where you're doing back-to-back, you're maybe taking a game off, you're playing your third game of the day, and you're done. And so you're almost creating sessions of morning sessions and afternoon
yep.
sessions and evening sessions.
Yeah, and I mean, the other reason is, you know, the concession stands are not open. And so by doing it that way, you can kind of prepare, you know, hey, I'll eat before and then I can make it through with a snack. I'm not going to be here at 8 a.m. and then have to wait till 3 p.m. I think everybody at least that I've been around really enjoys this.
I agree. And then we for a long time, one of our business model has always been creating fundraising opportunities for all of our partners, the host groups that are out there, by gaining the concession and admissions. And that's been the one thing, as we've kind of loosened the restrictions, we had this whole gate fee model where people would pay, a team would pay so much per team to be able to have access to the number of allotted spectators that were allotted in. And that got a little bit tough once we moved into spring, because especially for the older grades or older age kids, they don't bring as many fans. And so a lot of people didn't want to pay that per team fee. And so now the host groups are collecting what each team would like, you know, for the games that they play. And so there's been a lot of things to try to figure out, because sometimes, you know, that fundraising mechanism is not there as much because, like you said, the concession stands in indoor events especially is still not there, and they may not be gaining as much on the admissions because it's not it's you know, still non-contact admissions that we're dealing with. So that kind of stuff is things that we still need to navigate through with all of our host groups.
Do you think next year at this time we'll be going, boy, remember COVID, it's a distant memory, and everything will feel pretty much the same except you have made some improvements and upgrades because of COVID?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the one thing that everybody has done is that their hygiene is a lot better. I think they think about
yep.
that kind of stuff more. But I think that people realize all the stuff that they lost because of the stuff we couldn't do for so long, that I feel that so many people are just excited to be able to play again, and I don't think they will necessarily take it for granted as much.
I also hear from people that the sportsmanship has been better, maybe along those same lines, because they're more appreciative of the opportunity. Do you hear that?
I hear that. I also hear that because people have had to wear masks, especially indoors, you can't cure them as well either.
And that's a good point
as well. But no, I agree with you. I think people are honestly just excited to be able to watch their son or daughter or grandson play. Granddaughter play again, and it's great for everybody in Minnesota that we can have youth sports again. I think that's one thing though, Mike, that we all still need to work on. We've teamed up with a group called Youth First to create conduct first environments, and we're going to continue to do that for those extra reminders, especially as we're trying to maintain the officials and umpires we have and try to recruit more. It's even more important today that we appreciate everybody that makes the game happen, because if we don't have the officials or umpires, we can't have a game.
And Dawson, the mask mandate for indoor basketball, is that in play for the foreseeable future? Is there any talk of lifting that for fans and players?
For right now, because the Minnesota Department of Education still has that in play within their schools through the end of the year, and because of the majority of the games that are played, especially with us, it's through schools or school districts, that still will be in play. I mean, there are some private facilities out there that have eliminated that, so that's stuff we have to figure out on a case-by-case basis, but for indoor, until we know, until that's lifted at the school level, we will continue to play that way. But outdoors, as you know, it's no longer a factor.
Dawson, appreciate it very much. Keep us posted.
Hey, Mike, really quick, I just like to do a shout-out to and recognize Buddy Hemrick. He's retiring after 25 years at the MYS, and he was our officials coordinator for a long time, so we're going to have a little farewell for him on Friday, but he did a lot of great things for our organization and just Minnesota youth sports in general.
Oh, yeah, those guys that coordinate officials, that is a tireless, behind-the-scenes, necessary job so the rest of us can just show up. I'm glad you gave him a shout-out. Thank you for doing that, Dawson.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Yep, Dawson Blank from MYAS. Tournament's going on throughout. We had this lady when I used to umpire in the Northwest Umpire Association named Evelyn Rogge, and she was awesome.